Well, it probably doesn't come as much of a surprise to anyone that when we start talking about mental health, there really isn't a one-size-fits-all option. And yet one of the things I'm sure that many folks don't think about, maybe even providers, is that communities of color have a lot of different issues that affect their mental health. And it's important as we begin to pry open our ideas about the way people live and the way people think that we include diversity as we start talking about something that some folks have called culturally informed healing. Fascinating conversation happened yesterday as part of the Twin Ports Undergraduate Psychology Conference. Dr. Stacey Jackson was one of the presenters, and she joins us this morning on the phone to give us a little bit more information and insight. Stacey, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's great to have you along.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So the idea of culturally informed healing, we've talked about that on this program kind of peripherally in the sense of talking about Native American physicians and how it's so important for Native physicians, for there to be Native physicians, because it's really, there's really a disconnect between Native clients in many instances and European providers. There's a lot of issues there. Let's talk about this idea. We haven't really talked about culturally competent mental health providing. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mentioned this in my talk yesterday at the undergraduate conference, that when it comes to mental health and really our understanding of what's normal and abnormal with regards to behavior and healthy living, much of our understanding is very much based off of a European cultural context. And so, as you've mentioned, this isn't applicable to all cultural groups of people. And so what we understand and believe as being a normal way of functioning, a normal way of presenting, of operating in the world, doesn't necessarily apply to or consider other cultural groups and what's normal and natural for them. And so when we think about our way of healing when it comes to sort of abnormal behavior and symptoms that sort of describe or define abnormal behavior, we have to consider it in the context of that particular person and their particular culture. And that looks very different for different people. And so the approach that we use when it comes to treatment should be based off of their particular cultural context and what's normal for them, as opposed to this one-size-fits-all sort of idea of normal.
The organizer of yesterday's conference, Dr. Eleni Pinau, is also on the local NAMI board in Wisconsin, and she joins us this morning live in the studio. Good morning there, sunshine.
Good morning, Stacey. Stacey.
There, I pushed the button. Now you're all good. Let me ask both of you another thing that we've talked about on this show and that we're trying to educate people about is this idea of historical trauma. Native populations have experienced this in many instances. Other communities of color have experienced this in varying degrees. Can you talk about a healthy baseline for a community? Can you separate that from historical trauma, or does part of what quote-unquote normal look like? Once upon a time in therapy, I was told not to say normal. I was taught to say healthy, which I think was a good point. I think it was a good point. Can you separate out the idea of trauma from what a healthy community looks like? Or is the trauma so baked in that it's got to be a part of pretty much everything you do going forward? Eleni?
Yeah.
I was going to let Stacey go first.
Okay. I'm looking at both of you, and you guys are both looking at the other person who's not actually there. So,
no, I can go ahead and start. So I think absolutely when we talk about African-American mental health, I think that absolutely, particularly for African-Americans that live in the United States, I think it's almost virtually impossible to separate that historical cultural trauma from their lived experience currently and presently. And one of the things that, you know, African-centered psychology is essentially trying to do is exactly what it is that you're describing, you know, really try to contextualize and articulate what their lived experience is like here in the United States, but getting a better understanding of what is culturally healthy and optimal functioning for them prior to the historical trauma that they've experienced, prior to the enslavement, prior to white supremacy, and Jim Crow laws and all the different experiences that blacks have had in this particular country, what was healthy and normal and optimal functioning for them prior to that point in time, and trying to figure out a way to sort of get us back to that normal and natural way of functioning. But I think it's almost virtually impossible to do that and not also consider that historical trauma that has been experienced as well, because much of the work and much of the healing is finding a way to sort of heal and move past and grow from that particular trauma that was experienced. So I'm not sure if there is a way to fully contextualize and fully understand healthy, optimal functioning for the population without considering that trauma that they experienced. Because the trauma took place on the continent as well as throughout the diaspora.
This is a fascinating question for me. Can you get better if you're not exactly sure what better looks like? Eleni?
Right.
I'm going to defer to Dr. Jackson again. I mean, this is her jam, so I have to give her the space because she knows way more than me.
I wouldn't say that it's impossible, because there was a time in which there was healthy functioning. I think what really is involved in the process is really understanding, you know, where we're currently at, and also knowing where we came from and trying to sort of reconnect with that healthier functioning before the trauma took place. And I think that's applicable and could be considered with any sort of trauma that anyone experiences. You know, a lot of trauma-informed care and trauma-informed therapy that is done is recognizing the trauma that happened, but finding a way to connect to life before and functioning before that trauma took place. And I think it's a similar mentality when it comes to, you know, communities of color that have experienced, you know, historical trauma. A lot of it is, you know, recognizing the trauma that took place, but trying to reconnect with that healthy way of functioning that happened before the trauma.
How difficult is it? And I would imagine that part of this struggle or this search is also echoed in Native communities. How difficult is it when you have to go so far back to find healthy functioning that you're talking about a period of time in which the world has changed so dramatically in the
Absolutely.
Last 300 years? And so how difficult is it to say, I need to go back and grab your mindset from where you were living in a time that looks nothing at all and it has very little direct relationship to the time in which we're living now?
Absolutely. I would argue it's very difficult. I mean, it's difficult because many people don't even recognize that connection and recognize, you know, that there was a period of time in which culturally healthy functioning looked a particular way, and we are very far removed from that. I think part of the challenge, too, is that, you know, having individuals around to sort of help with that process of connecting back to the culture and what was normal and natural and healthy functioning, that there aren't a significant number of people within, say, mental health care that can kind of help facilitate that process. And so I think part of it is having that recognition that is a form of healing, and then having the individuals available to be able to do so makes it a very challenging and difficult process.
Is there a role similar to one that we have talked about with Native communities? And again, in many Native communities, there can be, although it was so dramatically and tragically broken by the boarding school system, but there is still a tenuous connection through elders to perhaps a time of life before complete European settlement.
Right.
Now, the elders, it would seem, in the black community are people who were also traumatized going generations back. What is the role of elders in the community? Are these people, regardless of the trauma that they have suffered, I like to say that us older folks despite the trauma that we have suffered, some of us, we start to get smart around the time that they want to phase us out of everything. We start to figure a few things out. Is there a place for elders to help facilitate this kind of healing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think elders play a significant role within the African-American community in general. I mean, if we think about, you know, people of African descent living on the continent, it's very much the elders who provide that knowledge, who educate, you know, the younger individuals, who pass on the knowledge and the culture and all of their traditions. And the same could be said even, you know, in present day in the lives of people of African descent. Those elder people are very much the ones who hold on to the culture, and they pass that information down. A lot of, similar to the Native American population, a lot of the traditional cultural healing within the African American community that really heavily draws upon traditional African culture is very much done by the elders. And the elders play a significant role in educating individuals on the culture, on cultural practices, on cultural forms of healing and things of that nature. So absolutely, the elders play a significant role because they really hold that knowledge and that culture, and they're the ones who pass it on.
Can a people say, this is our past, this is our history, this was traumatic, it was bad, it was nothing we chose, nothing we want. However, we are reclaiming our past, our history. We are going to make our own traditions where we need to, and we're going to decide what those traditions are going to look like, and we're going to make them healthy. Can people do that, or are we just too close to it?
I think that it's possible to do so. I think there's a saying in Black psychology and in African culture called Sankofa, and it's an image that you often see is this bird with its head sort of facing backwards, kind of reaching back, and it's actually reaching back and grabbing this egg. And it really talks about this idea of going back and fetching. And it's kind of going back and learning about your past, learning about that past trauma and that history and where you come from, and learning from that, but using that, passing that information on to the future. And that's really what the egg stands for, but also using that information to motivate you and encourage you and empower you to move forward and sort of, like you're describing, kind of redefine who you are and what's normal and healthy and natural for you, and kind of using that information to motivate and encourage you. So I definitely think that it's possible. I just think that, you know, as we've kind of described before, it can get a bit challenging when maybe there aren't individuals around to be able to facilitate that for you, or there isn't that process of being able to sort of learn from that past history and heal and move forward from it.
Is there a push in the Black community to educate more doctors, more perhaps psychologists, psychiatrists?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Association of Black Psychologists really formed as a result of exactly what it is you're describing. You know, back in the late 60s, Black individuals who were part of the American Psychological Association were frustrated, essentially, because of what was being done within the field of psychology regarding research pertaining to the Black community, and not seeing enough Blacks within the academy, not seeing enough Blacks within graduate programs, and ultimately not seeing enough Blacks within the clinical aspects of psychology as, you know, counselors and psychiatrists and things of that nature. And they really felt that the American Psychological Association should be doing more work to try to diversify the field and the profession. And when their concerns were not really being addressed, they decided to separate from the American Psychological Association and form their own organization, the Association of Black Psychologists. And very much a large part of their goals were to eliminate racism within research as it pertains to psychology and African Americans, but also to really push forth and allow for more Black individuals within graduate programs, to ultimately allow more Blacks within the field of psychology as clinicians as well as educators, to really help to train more culturally competent therapists and educators and psychiatrists and people within the field.
And I think this is one of the places where it's really important for the white people within psychology to create space for the black community to talk about their experience and to make really clear the way that their needs are not being met by current mental health practitioners. And so I think this was a talk that was really important for our students, and part of the reason that University of Wisconsin-Superior wanted Dr. Jackson to come speak, that, you know, a lot of our students, most of our students are white. A lot of them want to go into mental health, and it's critical for them to have an understanding of culturally competent care so that they can do good and not harm.
Is there is there an effort, Eleni, do you see perhaps a need at UWS to maybe do particular outreach or make a concerted effort to try to attract more students of color into the field?
I think that there is, you know, and I think part of the issue is, you know, it is, there's kind of double layers of tricky, which is, you know, you're asking people to come into this context, which is pretty overwhelmingly white, and especially within the psychology major. And, you know, that often puts students of color in kind of an awkward spot in classes where they might feel like they have to speak up and be representative. So I think that there's definitely room for that growth. And I think a big part of that, like learning to be welcoming, is about, you know, faculty being able to facilitate these discussions in a competent way and also know when to bring in, you know, people who can be good role models. But, you know, I also think that this is something that, like with our McNair Scholars Program, that we really try to get, you know, students of color in so that they can move forward in the career, because there's a real lack of mental health professionals, especially in this region.
Dr. Stacy Jackson joined us this morning on the phone. She was the keynote speaker at yesterday's Black Mental Health Culturally Informed Healing Conference as part of the Twin Ports Undergraduate Psychology Conference. Dr. Jackson, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
And Dr. Eleni Pinnow is a psychologist and the organizer of the conference yesterday. She's also sits on the local NAMI board. You joined us live and in color here.
Yay.
In our studio. Thanks so much. We'll get some links set up on our website so it will be easy for folks to find additional information. It is 8:19, and this is Northland Morning.